Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, April 26, 2024. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined right now by our great friend, Craig Bourne, Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools Superintendent. Julie Kolarik, principal over at Woodside Elementary, will be joining us any moment, but Craig, we'll get the conversation started. How you been?
Been good.
Good. Good to hear, sir. Very good to hear. Especially, I know you got a lot going on right now, so not only do I appreciate appreciate you being able to spend some time with us. What are the headlines you're dealing with right now? What are some of the main things going on in your world?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably clear to most listeners that we're looking at a transition in the superintendent position. And just to provide a little bit of backdrop with respect to, you know, processes and what that looks like, it's been communicated that they're narrowed down to two candidates, and some decisions on, you know, who the would be offered the job and contract terms and all those things should happen here in early May. And then that should be hopefully wrapped up in the month of May. That person then would start effective July 1st. But since it's May and then still I'm still around until June 30th, well, the 28th, technically, that's the last Friday in June. Okay. There'll be an opportunity then at some overlap. Hopefully that individual that gets the position has the opportunity to take a vacation day or two and spend some time with me here in the district so that we can orient them to all the things that are going on district-wise as well as things that community-wise, like these interviews, for example, mm-hmm. you know, we hope to continue. Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, United Way, the Chamber, you know, all of these community entities, the library, the city, mm-hmm. All of these community entities and partnerships that the district is involved in, so that there's as smooth of a transition as possible. I mean, clearly we're going to focus on the district and the operations and the high points there, but then also hopefully we can spend a day, if not a day or two, heading around to various community entities and doing introductions and, you know, some chit-chat so that that individual can hit the ground running effective July, and hopefully it's as seamless as it possibly could be.
Part of your intention of announcing that you would be doing this was at the time that you did was so that the next person coming in would have that kind of transition starting at the beginning of the school year and some of those things. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, you want to do it as early as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, posting for positions of superintendents like pretty much every sector now, but education too, there isn't the breadth of candidates that there was maybe a decade ago. Mm. You know, this workforce shortage issue faces schools too. And I'm sure you're shocked to learn that it's not dozens and dozens of people that want to do this job.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but not too surprising if you've been paying attention and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the long and short of it is they had, you know, the district did have a reasonable timeline for posting and we're able to interview several candidates, preliminary candidates, and get it narrowed down to these couple that they're now contemplating. So that timeline to districts, I think, is super important. If you wait much longer, then you're probably going to get into the area of, you know, folks that are still looking for a job and I'm not saying necessarily that the candidate pool would be diluted in any capacity, but it would be based on, you know, if you want your pick of the litter, as it were, the earlier the better so that you can do a comprehensive process. And I think the district was positioned fairly well to do that.
This is a good job in a good area. So you certainly have that going for us in that regard. And it's a job that has a lot of layers to it, like I'd imagine most areas do. Is there something that you would have liked to have known going into it that you think would be beneficial to the next person in that superintendent job?
Yeah, that's an outstanding question. I was lucky enough to have served as a superintendent prior. Mm-hmm. And I know I've done this now. This is my 14th year, which is hard for me to even say. I can't believe 14 years has gone by.
It did fly by.
Yeah. But I guess just like other positions, like teaching or being a principal, coach, that sort of thing, and frankly, I can speak to public education because that's where I'm at. But you kind of make it your own. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean this with any arrogance or anything like that, but being a superintendent, like those expectations and roles and responsibilities are similar among districts. Now, I'm not saying that communities and school districts are the same across the board, but being a superintendent and what it entails was not surprising to me. Mm-hmm. So that aspect was fairly locked down, having, you know, served in a couple of districts prior to coming here. But what's interesting is like how you make it your own, you know, with your own attitudes and ideology and attributes and all of these other things that make you the human being you are, and engaging in a different community and figuring out the niche the school district serves, you know, the dynamics of the various schools and the staff and students that comprise those schools, and all of those pieces are, to me, you got to figure that out on your own, and you got to figure out how you personally work within that context of this, the broader schools and community. And so I don't mean to be dismissive or not answer your question, but there isn't really anything I would point to and say, man, I wish I would have known this, right? Because the other thing you do when you're looking at a position such as this is that you also are interviewing the board and the community and the staff that you have access to, you know, when you're coming here through the interview process. And the internet's a wonderful thing. You can find out a lot of details from the internet. It might surprise you to find that I visited the community multiple times prior to accepting the job. Mm-hmm. I have no problem talking with people and asking questions. Mm-hmm. Nothing super weird. You know, I didn't hide in bushes and surveil people. But, you know, you stop at the gas station or the library and you ask questions of some people that are walking around. Like, hey, what do you think of the community? And, you know, what do you think of the schools? That sort of stuff. And engaging in those sort of behaviors kind of help you as a human being and your family, of course, because I had my lovely wife of 26 years as well as three kids in tow coming over here. So the decision isn't made, you know, snap, and it ultimately, well, in my case, and I think in most cases, it's not made because of money or, you know, these other factors that might come into play if you're in a private sector sort of job.
Right. Craig, one last thing, one last question about this. Is there, and we're certainly, we already talked about candidates. We have the candidates kind of down. But it's, in your opinion, there's something that a candidate has to have for this job to be going forward that you think is an important part of this job?
I will be biased in my response because, of course, I'm going to allude to some attributes that I brought to the position. So, again, you can't separate yourself from the job. And as soon as you do, I think you run into problems. That's what makes you seem disingenuous or not engaged or, you know, whatever these other things that, you know, people get accused of. And that is this engagement with the community. And, you know, I recognize that, like, being on the chamber board, one might say, well, how does that even benefit the district? Why would the superintendent be involved with the chamber? Clearly, well, first and foremost, we're an employer. Mm-hmm. And the district happens to be the second largest employer in Wisconsin Rapids area currently with our roughly 700 employees. So that's, you know, focus A. But focus B and the broader focus is the idea of who's around the table and who do we serve? And, you know, anytime you can engage with an entity that serves the broader community as a school district, you're in your sweet spot, in my opinion. And so maintaining or further enhancing those collaborative opportunities, I mean, clearly Boys and Girls Club, United Way, those are no-brainers. Mm-hmm. You would get involved in that because they directly impact kids, the same kids that we serve in a lot of cases, you know. And so those things are no-brainers. But to me, that engagement in the community, legitimately understanding what the community entails, living here, having your kids in the system, if you have kids, you know, that sort of thing, and understanding that broader demographic and the broader interactions, I think is profoundly important.
Yeah. If I can just add on, and it's just my opinion and just my take on this, but especially in a political year, I cannot help but think of, it's important for me when I'm voting for people, along with something like this, whether it's superintendent or it's a representative of our county or something like that, that they are representing not just the people that voted for them, but all their constituents. It's incredibly important to me to vote for people that believe in those things. That put that first. And I think a superintendent is very similar to that, where you have your, like you said, your beliefs and your mindset that you go into this job with. And that's great. And that's wonderful. But you almost have to put that aside to a degree to be able to focus on what the community wants, what the community needs, and first and foremost, what is best for these kids. And it's something that I've been very impressed with what you've done in the time that I've known you and the time that you've done this job. I think you've done that. And I appreciate that out of you. Very thankful for it. I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have to say this to you, so I do appreciate that, Craig.
Well, thank you.
This community, more importantly, this community is appreciated. So it's very noted. And hopefully the next person that takes this over takes on the same initiative.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have to bring in our next guest, and we want to thank Julie for being here and introduce her to our audience. And we do want to welcome in Woodside Elementary Principal Julie Kolarik. See, I just heard it two seconds ago, and I still mess it up. Julie, thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate the time. First, before we get into Woodside and talking about some of the things going on over there, can we get to know you just a little bit? Give us a little of your origin story, your background, where you're from and all.
Yeah, absolutely. This is my sixth year at Woodside. I'm so pleased to be here and happy to have Craig as our leader. You know, he came 1 year before I did. And so it's been, you were talking about some of the things, and I'm going to just tag on that. One of the things that I think he brought and that you both kind of mentioned is he's charismatic, you know, and you're really good at that. And his heart, too, is for the kids. And I think that that's so, so important. As is anybody in public education, including myself, this is going to be my 30th year in public education.
Wow. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Awesome. I appreciate that. Vast majority, I was teaching very similar to Craig, high school science, environmental science, still at my heart. And, you know, you come into my office, you're going to see a collection of about 15 different skulls of animals, which is
cool.
Always a great talking piece for the kids, too.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It'd be for me. I can only imagine. That's very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What is a day in the life at Woodside like?
Boy, that's a great question. It just really depends on the day. It's anything and everything. At the heart of everything, it's fun. Mm-hmm. It's loving. It's supportive. From my perspective, we have, you know, our teachers, our educational assistants, our amazing health aides, our secretaries. Everybody is doing everything they possibly can to meet the needs of the kids. Mm. I was a little bit late today. Thank you for not mentioning that, but I will. And because the day brought something new, you know, we were focusing on three main things that are seemingly unimportant to our lives, but to kids, and that's keeping your hands and your feet to yourself, using your big boy voice, and listening to the adults, you know, so you never know.
I gotta write that last one down. I always forget that last one. Those are important things. You guys have some really fun events going on over there all year long, but one of them we want to focus on coming up is the Family Fun Fest that you have.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up. That is a week from today. Mm. And we have spent months. This is our second one. We started it last year. We've been spent months preparing for it in conjunction with our PTO. And it starts at 4:45 next Friday, goes till 7 o'clock. And some of the amazing things that we're doing on there, we brought back the raffles that were so great last year. We have silent auctions. One of the things that we're going to be having, which was brought almost $700 last year. Mm. And that principal for a day. So you had asked what we do.
Yeah.
You could find out. You could win that one if you wanted to.
I'm tempted. This is very tempting. Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah, you'd get your own lanyard with your name and picture on it.
Now you sold me. The lanyard sold me. I'm not even kidding. That I can wear that always. That's a really fun idea. Who came up with this idea? Because I think that's a really unique idea.
Yeah, our staff.
Cool.
Just amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. When somebody wins this, what kind of things will they be doing as principal?
Yeah, again, depends on the day, but
sure.
Last year we made some really important decisions. One of the important decisions that was made by the principal for the day is extra recess
that
day.
That's a tough one. That is a tough one.
Well-deserved, great idea.
Yes.
We visited classrooms as well, made some observations in classrooms, recess duty as well. Bus duty, those kind of things like that.
You know, not that necessarily this is the reasoning for it or anything like that, but as a side story kind of to it, it also would hopefully create some more empathy for the position, for the job, to many of us, I think.
Yeah.
I've been a teacher for about 10, 11 years. I teach improv and comedy and acting and all that. And I have a taste of what teaching is, but I don't pretend to really know what it's like to teach grade schoolers or something. Mm-hmm. I think something like this, we think we have an idea of what it is to be a superintendent, what it is to be a principal. As a parent, as an adult, to be in that position, even in a loose way, gives you a little bit more, hopefully, respect and understanding of it. I encourage people all the time to volunteer in our school systems because of this. One of the main reasons because of this is creating more of an empathy between us as parents and adults with our teachers and our education system.
I love that. You know, I always think of a lot of people are very supportive of public education, and I love that. There's the other side, too. I went to school, therefore I know what to do. And that's a battle, I think, sometimes that we hear more and more. You know, I just because I go into the mechanic shop doesn't mean I can fix the car.
Right.
And I think that there's something to say about that as well. So you're right. Mm. That could be something. I will tell you this. Our winner last year was a student. And so,
awesome.
Yeah, so I think he had a great time.
Yeah, I had a pretty good time with this one. Is the Family Fun Fest, this sounds like it's something that is open to the community.
100%. Our turnout last year was phenomenal. I mean, we have a big school, and it was mostly outside for our games. It was just packed everywhere. So it is 100% open to the community. We invite everybody to come, whether they want to do games, whether they just want to do the raffles, have cotton candy, get something to eat. And it's really $10. Adults don't have to pay anything if they want to play the game. But $10 for any child over the age of one, and it's all of the games that we have, plus this year, new added bonus, bounce houses. Who doesn't love a bounce house?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
Bounce houses are great. I've never actually been in one. I'm dying to go in one, though, as an adult. I've always wanted to check one out, and I think as an adult, it's finally time. It's finally time that I get into one of those. So that, over at Woodside, seems like a good place for.
4:45 next Friday, bounce house for you.
And we'll be talking about this on our morning shows and encouraging people to go ahead and attend and check it out. An event like this is fun. It's great for the community, great for the kids, hopefully great for you and your staff as well. But it also has another meaning to it, and that's being able to fundraise for things like the Woodside Playground and those kind of things.
Yeah, we are so fortunate to have that playground that we have. The Legacy Foundation was so generous in conjunction with some of the fundraising that we have done. It's really a $1.5 million project that the Legacy Foundation paid $1.2 million for it, and we've been fundraising for years for it. Mm-hmm. Our playground, we have three. Three playgrounds.
That's cool.
Yeah. The one in the front, we call our Woodside Pride Playground. The use from the community is absolutely phenomenal, and the feedback from them, we're so happy. But we have two in the back, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We call them our Lumberjack Strong Playgrounds. They're a little different design for the smaller kids.
Yeah.
And then we hope to have, we're fundraising for an outdoor classroom. We're starting on pieces of that. That's part of the thing. And down the road sometime, we're hoping to have some pickleball courts out there as well. So some of the money from this will go towards some of those things, as well as some of the things that we do in school, some different kind of seating for kids and things like that.
This one hits close to home to me. Where I'm from in Chicago, where I was at, there was no like community playground area. I'll be completely honest with everybody in the audience here. We played in garbages. We played King of the Hill on the garbages and things like that. Like, we made use of whatever we could find, because that's what kids do. They're always going to find a way to play. To be able to give kids playground equipment, good, healthy playground equipment. It may not seem like the biggest deal to adults, but to kids, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's huge to kids. It means so many, has so many different layers to it of what it is to kids. The exercise and the fun part certainly can't be taken lightly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, again, the layers to these things. These kids see adults caring about them. These kids see adults getting things for kids. And that means something. They're going to grow up. They're going to be parents themselves. They're going to be taxpayers themselves. And hopefully remember these things of adults, seeing how adults do. They're sponges. They learn from us. And they're picking up not just the things that we're teaching them, but every single thing that we are doing. So they're paying attention. And it matters when we do these kind of things and when you invest in this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Can I add another layer onto that? And so thinking about that, the thing that really inspired us to do this playground is that it's an inclusive playground. So if you're a student with a disability or an adult, for that matter, you've got a spot to come to play.
That's huge.
Yeah, so that's too cool too.
And that's something that, like myself, there's a blind spot for me that I didn't even think of, and that's so beautiful to hear. That's wonderful. I really appreciate the time, Julie. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I couldn't be prouder of our staff and community.
We'll get some information from you before we wrap up.
Yep.
But Craig, I have to use the segue here I have of talking about new playground equipment over at Woodside to the rest of our other schools and how that's been going.
Yeah, so we've gone through the formal bidding process, and we're going to start kick off four projects this spring and over the summer. That includes Mead, which is going to get, as I'm sure some of the listeners remember, a very comprehensive update. The city is doing around $450,000 worth of work on the city portion of Mead Park over there, Splash Paddish area. And the district is going to be, with the lion's share coming again from the Legacy Foundation, investing about $1.1 million over at Mead Elementary. And so the idea behind that is that there's kind of a contiguous and multifaceted play area that incorporates not only district property but city property over there and some of that enhancement. So I'm super excited about that. We're also doing Rams. Rams has some more updates that would be for clearly older kids mm-hmm. slash community members, and disc golf, kind of a challenge course-ish sort of thing. And so that's also happening. Grant out in Kellner area, Grant slash Kellner area, mm-hmm. is, of course, happening as well, getting some fairly comprehensive updates out there. Really taking in mind this collaboration with the RISA and the softball fields and fields that are out there, so that not only will that be beneficial for our kids and the community out there, but guess what? If you're hosting a softball tournament or a youth baseball tournament out there, lo and behold, there's something for kids to do. Yeah. And so super excited about that. And then pitch is getting taken care of too. That's been in process and has kind of gotten lumped in with these broader projects. And then the final four elementary buildings would get their playground updates then next spring slash summer. So we're going to break it into kind of a two-phase approach, but they should kick off this spring and be wrapped up. Okay. Should be wrapped up in prior to the start of the school year, ready for kids to play on come September.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's a really cool, and it's a great way to break that up. And it's really cool to hear for all of these kids in these communities and these different schools. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah. So wrapping up, Craig, people have follow-up questions, want to know more, and want to get a hold of you while they can. How can they reach you?
Well, it's easiest to call 715-424-6700, or, of course, you can Google, you go on the WRPS website. My email contact information's there. I'm not super hard to get hold of.
And Julie, same question. If people want to reach out to you about some of the things we've talked about today or learn more about Woodside and how they can help or donate or impact or anything like that, how can they reach you?
Our Facebook page is a great spot to access, easy, and then give us a call, 424-6793, and same thing through our website. If you wanted to speak with me or email me, that's fine too.
Yeah, encourage people to follow them on Facebook. It's a great follow, great way to keep up to date on Woodside and all the good things you guys are doing over there. Thank you both for everything you do for our community, our kids, and hanging out with me and putting up with me for a little bit here. I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Pam Hilke, our scheduler here. We want to thank Pam for the amazing work she does week in and week out. And we'll be back next week with more Midday Magazine for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.